Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading today from the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, text 22. Gayate Bhagavadrupam Vishwam Sadasadatmakam Atmano Vyatirekena Mpashyanto Vyacharan Mahim Mta Ete Bhagavad Rupam Vishram Sarasaratmakam Atmano Vyatare Kena Mpashyanto Vyacharan Mahim Daete Bhagavad Rupam Vishwam Sadasaratmakam Atmano Vyatarekena Pasyanto Vyacharan Mahim. Daete Bhagavad Rupam Vishwam Sadasaratmakam. Vasanto Vyacharan Mahim. Darete Bhagavad Rupam. Vishwam Sadasaratmakam. Atmano Vyatarekena. Vasyanto Vyacharan Mahim Daite Bhagavad Rupam Nivishvam Sarasaratmakam Atmano Vyatarekena Vasyanto Vyacharan Mahim. Ladies? Daete Bhagavad Rupam Vishwam Sarasaratmakam Atmano Vyacharekena Vasyanto Vyacharan Mahim Daete Bhagavad Rupam Vishwam Sarasaratmakam Atmano Vyatarekena Vasanto Vyacharanmahim Ta'ete Nine Yogendras Bhagavat of the Supreme Lord Rupam a form Vishwam the entire universe Sada Sadatmakam, consisting of both gross and subtle objects. Atmana, from the self. Avyatirekena, as non-different. Mpashyanta, seeing. Vyacharan, they wandered. Mahim, the earth. Translation and put forth by the disciples. These sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe, with all its gross and subtle objects, as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the self. Please repeat. These sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe, with all its gross and subtle objects, as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord, and as non-different from the self. So this is requiring some patience here, because the purport is quite long. So please try to follow best you can. Purport. According to the Srila Sridhar Swami, it is clearly demonstrated, and in this and the following verse, that the nine saintly sons of Rishabhdev, known as the Navayogendras, were situated in the highest stage of spiritual perfection called Paramahamsa Charitam, or having fully developed the character of Paramahamsas. In other words, they were pure devotees of the Lord. According to Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami, the words Atmano Vyatarekena indicate that the nine sages saw the universe as being non-different from themselves, as well as non-different from the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. Vishnava Chakrabarti Thakur has additionally commented, Atmana, Paramatmana, Sakashad Vyatarekena, Vishvasya, Tach Chakti Mayatwad, Iti Bhava. Atmana indicates the Super Soul. The universe is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, since the entire universe is composed of His energy. Although it is stated here that the cosmic manifestation is non-different from both the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that either the living entity or the Supreme Lord is material. A Vedic aphorism states, Asangohi Ayam Purusha. The living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have nothing to do with the material world. Furthermore, Bhagavad Gita says that the entire universe, consisting of the eight gross and subtle elements, constitutes Bina Prakriti, or Apara Prakriti, the separated inferior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita that He has eternally established His own abode in the kingdom of God, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and that the living entity, being part and parcel of God, is also eternal, mamai vamsa, jiva loke, jiva bhuta, sanatana. Furthermore, having once gone to that eternal abode of the Lord, the living entity never returns to this temporary manifestation. Yam prapya na nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. One may therefore ask, why the living entity and the Supreme Lord are stated to be non-different from the material universe. The question is very nicely answered by Srila Narada Muni in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivitaro yata jagat stana niroda sambhava. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself, this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated, and it rests in Him, it rests, and unto Him it enters after knowledge. Commenting on Narada's statement, Srila Prabhupada has very nicely explained this delicate philosophical point. I guess we have to carefully listen to this. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic manifestation is also Mukunda, because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and the branches of the tree are also the tree, but the tree is neither the leaves nor the branches. The Vedic version that the whole cosmic manifestation is nothing but the Brahman means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs, are called the body. But the body as the whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition, and beauty. And thus the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge, and beautiful also. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus his supreme energies are always perfect and identical with him. Both the spiritual and material skies and their paraphernalia are emanations of the eternal and external energies of the Lord. The external energy is comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is the living force, and therefore she is completely identical with the Lord. But the external energy is inert and is partially identical. But both the energies are neither equal nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under his control, exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, is always under the control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are products of his internal energies. Thus, the living being is also identical with the Lord, but he is never equal to or superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has clearly explained that both the cosmic manifestation and the living entities are emanations from the Supreme Lord, as confirmed in both Vedanta Sutra and in the opening statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadiyasya Yatha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. Similarly, Yudhishthira Upanishad states, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Vibhakshite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purna Deva Vasishtha. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, is Purna, or complete in himself. And since the cosmic world is a manifestation of his potency, it also appears to be Purna. In other words, because this material world is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, it is non-different from him. Exactly as the sun rays are non-different from the sun globe, which is the source of their emanations. Similarly, the living beings, who are expansions of the superior or conscious energy of the Supreme Lord, are also non-different from Krishna. Although this non-difference is qualitative and not quantitative. The gold found in golden ornaments, such as rings and bracelets, are qualitatively identical with the gold in a mine. For the gold in a mine is quantitatively far superior to the tiny quantity of gold in the bracelet or ring. Similarly, although we are qualitatively one with God, being spiritual emanations of his unlimited potency, we are quantitatively infinitesimal and eternally subordinate to his supreme power. Therefore, the Lord is called Vibhu, or infinitely potent, and we are Anu, or infinitesimal and dependent. This is further confirmed in the Vedic literature by the statement, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahuna Nyobidat Kamam, Tathya Upanishad 2.2.13. There are innumerable eternal living entities who are eternally and totally dependent upon the supreme singular living entity, the Supreme Lord. That dependence is not an illusion created by the material existence, as stated by the impersonal philosopher, but it is an eternal relationship in which the Lord is the eternally superior and we are eternally inferior. The Lord is eternally independent, and we are eternally dependent. The Lord is eternally absolute in himself, and we are eternally relative to his supreme personality. Although the Lord is infinitely greater than any other living being, or than all of them combined, Every living being is qualitatively non-different from him. Because all living beings are parts and parts emanating from him, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Therefore, in one sense, the living entity is also not different from the cosmic manifestation, which is an inferior sister of the Lord, sister energy of the Lord. And both the living entity and the material nature are prakriti, or feminine, dependent expansions of the supreme creation. The difference is that the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord, because the living entity is conscious and eternal, like the Lord, whereas the material energy is the inferior energy of the Lord, lacking consciousness and eternal form. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized in this regard that the absolute substance is one and is called Paramatma, or the Super Soul. And when one has achieved but a partial vision of the Paramatma, one's understanding of life is called Atmadarshi, or self-realization. And when this partial understanding is lacking, one's existential condition is called anatma darshana, or ignorance of the self. In the state of partial realization of the supersoul, without recognition of Paramatma's distinction from the individual soul, the living entity tends to become puffed up by his spiritual achievement, being carried away by mental concoction, and considered himself equal in all respects with God. On the other hand, the living entity situated in anatma darshan, or material ignorance, feels that he is completely different from the Supreme Lord. And since everyone in this material world is interested in himself, the living entity forgets about God, thinking that God is completely different from him, and that there is, therefore, no substantial relationship between him and God. In this way, the impersonal transcendentalists emphasize only the oneness between God and the living entity, whereas the ordinary materialists overemphasize the difference between God and the living entity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly revealed that the ultimate truth is simultaneous oneness and difference, achinta bheda bheda tattva. Actually, we are eternally different from God, because the living entity and God are eternally separate individual entities. There exists the possibility of an eternal relationship. And because every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, that relationship constitutes the essence of the ultimate reality for every living being. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila 20.108, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. The ultimate essential identity, every living entity, is his relationship with the Supreme Lord as servitor of the Lord. If one can understand that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can correctly understand that both the living entity and the material universe are identical with Krishna, being emanations from him, and that therefore they are therefore not different from each other. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has stated, the material world is a manifestation of simultaneous difference and non-difference, and it is a form of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the temporary, perishable, and ever-changing material world is different from Vaikuntha, the eternal world. It should be noted that in this verse, the word sadasat atmakam, or made up of gross and subtle objects, does not refer to the material and spiritual objects. This universe is stated to be composed of sat and asat, gross and subtle objects, material objects. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, this very subtle state within the manifest world is known as the unmanifest, and the realm beyond the manifest world is called transcendental. Within the covering surrounding the manifest, in the region of the time factor, is the phase of material existence experienced by the controlling deities. In this phase exist the two functions, cause, asat, and effect, sat. In the universe, which is the third, it's a third tattva or reality, apart from containing both sat and asat, and which is a form of the Supreme Lord, it is impossible to produce any contradiction to the non-dual absolute truth. In other words, although ignorant materialistic scientists may zealously carry out research to find a material principle that can negate or render unnecessary the existence of God, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati clearly states that since the universe is an emanation from the Lord and therefore spiritually identical with Him, there cannot possibly exist anywhere within the universe a material law, principle, or phenomenon that in any way contradicts the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. In fact, the entire universe, along with the spiritual sky, exists as the eternal testimony to the unlimited glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. With this understanding, the nine yogendras were traveling about the earth in transcendental bliss. Om Agnanata Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Minikamim Kajmani Shri Gurgena Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapikam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupakam Ram Vedati Swaha Rupakam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Chakatakam Shri Guru Shri Chakatakam. So this was a very long report, which focused on this statement that the living entities, us, are non-different from the material universe, which seems a bit shocking and confusing in one sense, but the explanations are quite clear. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 7, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. And then text 8, he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matha sarvam prabhavate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samandita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So this is a further explanation of the realization of these nine great sages. Their realization also included these statements from Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10, text 41 and 42, where the Lord states, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there, Arjuna, for this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So we know, we as devotees would like to be able to always see Krishna everywhere. And in this material world, it can be quite challenging because everything seems so separate from Him. By our conditionings, by its inferior nature, everything seems so much separate, so much different from the Lord. It's temporary. It has inebriety of being full of ignorance. So here, we're talking about seeing in a different way. Seeing that we living entities are also non-different from this entire cosmic manifestations. How is that? That we are like brothers, or here says sisters, that are coming from the same Father. We are both Prakriti, feminine, emanating from the Supreme Purusha, male, Krishna. So we have the same Father. And so we are related, connected with the Father, and yet we are different. We're not the same as this material energy. This cosmos is like this. It's stated to be an inferior sister. I thought about expanding on that point, but I think we'd get some nuances. Not everyone would be happy. But you can picture what is meant there. An inferior sister, someone who is not the same capacity, the same powers, the same abilities. So the living entities are declared superior. Why? Because we are sentient and conscious. Matter is not. So that is a superior nature of Krishna's energies. And still, although we are related, we actually have nothing to do with this material universe. Just like Krishna also has nothing to do. I know in the Christian tradition there was a saint called Saint Francis, and he had this sort of vision. He felt a oneness with all creatures and with nature, because he was on his own level God conscious, and therefore he never felt separated from God, never felt separated from Krishna. So with this vision, we have to ask ourselves, what vision do we have of the material energy? Naturally, I know myself, I often feel like it is a prism, or perhaps like an antagonist seeking to pull me away. And it's true, it has that nature. Material nature has that tendency to pull us down back into material consciousness, and to make us feel that we are held separately in this prison, far away from Krishna. But liberation from that prison allows us to peacefully coexist. To have that liberated mentality that actually is not a prison. I'm related to this material energy. We are part, we are both energies of Krishna. We have some relationship. So therefore, the material energy reminds me of Krishna, connects me with Krishna, if I use it correctly, if I see it correctly. If we see, as many materialists see, the cosmos as a playground to enjoy and exploit, then it all seems very separate from Krishna. Krishna has to be far away so that I can enjoy without any interference, without any interruption. And this is the separatist, this material vision, that those who are materially absorbed. And we want nothing to do with that vision, because we want to always feel that connection, which is our reality, connection with Krishna, that closeness, that identity with Krishna. So, we belong to Krishna as the material energy also belongs to Krishna. But what is his purpose? It's for his enjoyment. It is meant for his purposes, not for mine. If I take something that is yours, but I only use it for my purposes, then what is that called? That is called theft, stealing. Because I'm not recognizing you as the owner. So if I recognize you, then I will want it to be re-engaged in your service as you desire, as you would like. And sometimes to illustrate this, I was thinking that how can we relate to that? We as human beings, as men and women, we have our own sort of impersonal energy, our money. And for example, say if we wanted to use that money to buy a house that would provide some benefit for us, but instead that money gets used for gambling and is used for no value, then we would not be very happy with that situation. And certainly it would be quite lamentable. But instead, if it's used for our purposes, then that's the natural correct position. That's what it's meant for. That is, as the owner, as the creator of that energy, that money, that's what it's meant for. So here we talk here in our community here of having this eco farm and living in harmony with nature. And when we do that, it also meant that we live a lifestyle meant for Krishna's pleasure. We take what the earth provides and we use it back for Krishna's pleasure. There's an offering unto Krishna. Patram pushpam palam payam yome bhakti bhakti. Take what we have, Krishna's given to nature, and offer it back to him with devotion. Then Krishna is pleased. That is the correct position of using an existing material energy. But ultimately, we know as devotees, what do we prefer? We prefer to go to our rightful abode, the spiritual world, where Krishna lives eternally with his close friends and associates. That world no longer has this inebriety of temporariness and ignorance and this illusion it creates of separateness. But everything is eternally, intimately connected with Krishna for his pleasure. And therefore, so much satisfaction is given to the living entities, the conscious living beings who are then exchanging with Krishna transcendental service. So it becomes, that is our rightful position, and it's a position of great pleasure and happiness for us. It is what we are meant to do. And this is the nature of this superior energy, to be connected to Krishna's service, to Krishna's pleasure. And that is what it is meant for. So it is stated here that the devotee sees Krishna both in a personal and as impersonal form. So I know it was a rather lengthy purport, but I'm wondering whether anyone had any realizations of that. Ruth, did you have some? Yes, you can say something. You study something. You've heard so many Vedic statements.
I thought it was a good purport. It was logical, well laid out. It was too long. I was wondering if it was necessary in class to read the whole purport. It was then obvious.
Yeah, I was wondering, but I didn't want to minimize
it. What are the rules like this? Is there a rule that the purport has to be read?
There's no rule. I don't think. Each speaker determines what he wants to present or not.
I guess this reminded me of Prabhupada's statement of when you drink water, you can remember Krishna. Rasvam apsukante, travas, vishas, shashi, suri, yoho. I am the light of the sun and the moon. Punyagandha prithivyam, chakrajus, chasmi, vibhava. So the essence of each of the material elements, I am that. Taste of water, things like that. But there are also unsavory material things.
Yes, definitely.
So should those also remind us of Krishna, or what sort of Krishna? That's a question.
Well, according to the purport and discussions from the Acharyas, definitely. They have to, everything reminds one of Krishna, good and bad. Because everything comes from Krishna, either good or bad. The bad comes because there's forgetfulness, there's separateness. There's this inferior quality which is not so pleasing. So it must be there. That is the nature of the inferior energy. It has to be there. To us it is not so pleasant, not so pleasing, because we are related to the superior energy, which is always meant to be in pleasure. So we're in the unnatural condition. We're in the wrong place. And therefore, always seems foreign. When you're living in a foreign country, then although you try to make it your home, somehow it is still never quite home. It is always different, some way. And depending on your experiences, it could be too much different. I see people that emigrate to America, and after a year or two, they just can't stand it anymore. They have to go back to their country. Too many inebrieties, too many things wrong, different. They can't tolerate. Of course, that's perhaps more from the material point of view, depending on the person. But we are meant to be in that superior position, the superior energy. Krishna stated that he is eternity, cognition, and amazing beauty. So you are mentioning some things here in the material universe, the sun, the moon, the banyan tree, the shark, the intelligence, the ocean. These are representations of Krishna that could be seen as amazing in some ways, each one in its own light. And this also, as you say, rightfully reminds us of Krishna. Because he is amazing. He is always amazing. He's always all attractive. He's always wonderful. But there is, as you say, this negative side. So, we can see everything related. And sometimes you can see the negative as what? As an impetus to get out. I don't like it here. Get out. It's like one may have to use the bathroom, but one doesn't want to stay there. Just like, do what you have to do and get out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made that statement about the material world. It's like a bathroom. Do your business, get out. So it's like that. It's a place that there's so many inebrieties we don't like to stay. It's not the right place for us. But at the same time, this statement is there, Om Purnam Purnam. We're not any dumb. That this material world is perfect and complete emanation from Krishna. It is perfect. It is complete. Because it's coming from Krishna. But what is it complete for? It is complete for those who want to be separate from Krishna. It is the perfect place for them. For those who wish to serve Krishna, it can be used. But maybe not the best place, not the ideal this destination. And we can see what is the struggle here. Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, and we are minutely powerful. So this energy here, this material energy, is always fighting against us, so we're always struggling. Because we're tiny. It's overwhelmingly powerful, and we're struggling with this strong material energy. So although all these forms in the material cosmos are part of Krishna, they are Krishna, we are also part of Krishna, but it's like these, today you're taking the leaves, right? Is that moringa tree? Maybe. Moringa. So that moringa tree is very beneficial. Very healthy tree. All the parts of it are very healthy to eat and consume. The leaves, the stems, the seeds, the pods. I think the pods you use as drumsticks. It's all full of vitamins and minerals. Very, very healthy tree. And we have some at my house, but what happened is the deer came along and they snapped off part of it. Was that the end of the tree? No. The tree continues to exist. So the tree is independent of all these branches and leaves. It continues to grow in spite of them being snapped off. Or as here we pick them in different ways. So Krishna is like that. He has all these leaves, branches, and yet he is something more than that, different from that, independent of that. And as the leaves, for example, are dependent on the tree for sustenance, if you pull them off, what happens? They shrivel and they die. So we are dependent on Krishna. We require him to exist. And when we recognize that, that is the healthy condition. That is our situation where we need to feel our original at-home potency, what really allows us to fully experience our nature, which is in connection with Krishna. So I wanted to also just mention one prayer that I think is relative to our discussion today. It goes as this: Abrahma stamba paryantam sharam maya mayam jagat satyam satyam punar satyam hari nam eva kevalam. The entire universe, from exalted Lord Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, and again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. And then the second verse from that same astakam was, Aho dukha maha dukham, dukha dukha taram yata, kachartam vishmritam ratna harinam eva kevalam. Oh no, what a sorrow, what a great sorrow, more painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So, a nice meditation. We have the holy name of Krishna, which is so powerful and connects us with him. Does anyone have any further questions or comments?
Much of a question, but look at the fourth sentence there. The sages wander the earth, seeing the entire universe.
Yes. Well, obviously they didn't see every inch of the universe, but that's implying they saw a lot of it, or enough of it. Sometimes it's recommended that one retires from family life, he travels, see the universe, and get an awareness of his position, how temporary things are, how he's not special, not different, he's an ordinary living entity, but there is still a connection to everything with God, with Krishna. So that is part of some methods of realization also. Anyone else? G. David, did you have something? Yeah? He's here? He's coming with the microphone.
I mean, I guess for me, it's like I can see this material world as a place where the conditioned soul comes and he has an opportunity to either go back or, you know, continue on in the material world. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to share anything. I don't know. There's birth, death, old age, and disease. So, like, that's miserable. But Krishna somehow gave us that to realize something, right?
Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but okay. No, it just occurred to me when you were saying
with this material world. It's not perfect and complete for the purpose of the devotees. But I thought, well, if when we chant Hare Krishna, we're asking, please engage me in your service, in this world, there's so much opportunity for service because there's so many suffering souls. So I just thought, my God, it's the perfect opportunity for everywhere, wherever we go, we can bring Krishna's holy name, just emphasize, just some encouraging word to a person like that.
Certainly, yes. The devotee knows how to use everything in Krishna's service. And he sees that it's a great misery and a great disaster that people don't get to take advantage of this connection with Krishna, this chanting of Hare Krishna. That is the greatest disaster in their lives. So to help them avoid this disaster, this suffering, this misery, we give them the holy name of Krishna. That is the most wonderful gift we can give them. Anyone else? Jai, all glories to Sri Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.